Last night, I got one word from the Lord, and it was about criticism. And I'm not talking criticism about any particular ministry or church, or I don't sense a criticism in any way against our ministry. This isn't even about, it's a spiritual attack that I believe the Lord gave me a few things. In fact, I'm going to just read a few scriptures before I move into what I feel like I want to confront. And I want you to turn in your Bibles for a moment to Revelations. Turn to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, and I'm going to ask you just to turn to the 12th chapter. Lord spoke to me out of this passage of scripture. In Revelation, the 12th chapter, the Bible, of course, talks about the woman, the dragon, and the offspring, the child of the woman, which is a prophetic picture of the church, the bride, Jesus, the devil, the dragon, the accuser. And I just want to highlight something that is happening in this passage of scripture. In Revelation, the 12th chapter, just reading in verse 3, another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 diadems on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them onto the earth. The dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child. Now we know this is Jesus, Israel, the church, the dragon, the devil, the accuser of the brethren. And then it goes on to say, she bore in verse 5 a male child who was to rule all nations. Verse 7, war breaks out in heaven. Michael and his angels fight with the dragon. The dragon and his angels fight. And then of course, I want you to turn with me to verse 13. The dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth. He persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. The woman was given the wings of a great eagle. And then in verse 15 is what I want to get to. The serpent, the dragon, the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood or the water that spewed out of his mouth. And in verse 16, but the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon became enraged with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her offspring, that's you and me, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And of course, we know how the enemy works. We know how the enemy attacks. We know his assignment. And he is the accuser of the brethren that's been cast down. But we know how he still accuses. And the water that comes out of his mouth like a flood against the church is accusation, gossip, slander, criticism, judgment, evil speaking, death. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And I was thinking about that last night out of Proverbs 18:21 about words, about, you know, how life and death are in the words that we speak. That man shall be satisfied with good or bad by the fruit of his mouth. And then I thought about the scripture in Isaiah that says, we shall condemn every tongue that rises up against us in judgment. How do we do this? This is a heritage. It belongs to the servants of the Lord. We've received an inheritance that we can speak in the realm of the Spirit, I'm talking, and condemn every tongue or every word that's in nature, judgment or criticism or death or slander or gossip or evil speaking, and we can condemn it and bring it down. And the Bible says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, or when the enemy comes in, the Holy Spirit, really the scripture would say, we'd read it like this, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will lift up the standard. But really the scripture says, when the enemy comes in, comma, the Holy Spirit like a flood. The devil's not the flood. The Holy Spirit's the flood. And I just feel like there's been a flood of words and clutter, and I just felt a what I call a demonic swirl. And I discerned it as criticism, not, you know, particularly spoken against any particular individual or ministry or but just there were many people in the room that the reason in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talks about the communion, and he talks about the table of the Lord, and he uses the reference that many have not discerned the Lord's body and that for this reason many are weak, sick, and prematurely die. And Paul actually links many that are weak, many that are sick, and many that prematurely die. Many of those are from sickness and illness. And the reason that the illness is rampant in the church is because we've not discerned the Lord's body. And I believe that that doesn't just have to do with not understanding how to have unity in the church and get along with all the denominations. And I thank God for that message and being able to have unity and as much as we can. You know, thank God for 31 flavors of ice cream, and you can love vanilla and I can love chocolate and you can love strawberry, and we don't have to all camp under the same banner. Thank God for the 12 tribes of Israel. They're all the tribes of Israel, but you know, different ones camped under the tribe of Judah and different ones camped under the tribe of Levi and different ones camped. You know, you can have a different color, you can have a different tribe, you can have a different movement, you can have a different DNA in which you celebrate your expression of freedom in Jesus, but really we're all of the tribes of Israel. We're all really all of the kingdom of God, and you can love chocolate and I can love strawberry and you can love vanilla, but we all love Jesus. Okay, so I'm not just talking about, well, we haven't discerned the Lord's body in the sense of, you know, we got to talk about division amongst churches and denominations. I believe that's a part of it, but what the Lord's speaking about in 1 Corinthians 11, when we receive the instructions about coming to the table of the Lord and we talk about real communion, and Paul's talking about communion, he's not just talking about when he says let one examine himself and let one discern, let one, you know, take consideration about not partaking of the communion in an unworthy manner. And what does that mean? Well, you know, to partake of communion in an unworthy manner, I believe, has more to do with attitude and not examining to be sure that our life every day is holy and that we're doing everything Jesus would want us to do. You know, that's good, that's noble, but you know, the blood of Jesus has done it all, and you're not going to, you know, communion, you know, you can take communion. It's not a matter of, hey, I don't believe Paul's just addressing how's your walk with Jesus on a daily basis when he makes reference to partaking of communion in an unworthy manner in the context of examine yourself, in the context of not discerning the Lord's body, giving reason for why many are sick, have illness, and why many die prematurely. Paul begins to address what I call more of an attitude or more of a mindset, which I believe many are sick and weak in the church today. And one of the open doors for how the enemy works is because we don't fully understand what the Lord's body has done for us. So we don't discern the Lord's body in the sense of understanding the full blessing that's available by faith in understanding the completed work, what Jesus has already done on the cross, and having faith in that. That, you know, whether we don't believe in healing today or we don't understand the full blessing and provision of the cross, we don't discern the Lord's body. We discern it in part today. And I believe if we had a true revelation of the Lord's body and the price that he paid and what we really have because of the cross and the sacrifice of Jesus, I believe we would see a greater manifestation of healing and blessing and prosperity and freedom and deliverance and peace and joy. And I believe part of the sin that we have in the church today and not discerning the Lord's body isn't just not recognizing one another in the sense of denominations and different factions of the body of Christ, but more in an attitude in the sense of the Lord saying, hey, examine yourself. Do you really understand what the cross has done? Do you really understand what the Lord's body has provided for you? It's not just some instruction when we talk about communion to examine to be sure that your life every day is holy and that you're worthy to take communion. None of us are worthy to take communion but by the blood of Jesus and but by the grace of God, but it's more of an attitude. And so anyways, this I believe the Lord did say that there can be many of us that have attacks or open doors for the enemy to attack because we've not discerned the Lord's body. And it could have to, on the second side, I believe there is another application to that, and that there is a true revelation that, hey, having a critical spirit against others in the body, or a judgment, or a slanderous spirit, or a gossiping, you know, and just sometimes we've lost the victory in the sense of the words that come out of our mouth. I started thinking this way, and that's why I'm moving so quickly, because really I'm just trying to give you the revelation of something I believe I've discerned that I want to go after in the spirit. This isn't my message or sermon, but I was also thinking out of Proverbs chapter 6, and I wanted you to go there and really look at something with me. In Proverbs chapter 6, and we're going to do something here in the spirit in a moment that I believe we need to do first so we can ultimately release the healing that's going to come tonight. And if the Lord puts his finger on something and you think, Lord, I'm guilty of this, then you just go ahead and go after that. But I do want you to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs, the 6th chapter, and I just want to look at something really quickly. I find it interesting about what the Lord says about the sins that he hates the most in verse 16. Proverbs, the 6th chapter, verse 16. Because we have this idea and standard externally of what we call sin, and we have this idea of what, on a judgment scale of you know, the worst sins. And I just want you to hear what the Lord says. And it's interesting to me that these sins have more to do with attitude than they do external nature or lifestyle. And in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, these 6 things the Lord hates. You want to know what the Lord hates? Yes, 7. 7 are an abomination to him. Hear what they are. A proud book. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. This all has to do with mindset and attitude. Feet that are swift to run to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. One who sows discord among brethren. See, that's the nature of the dragon. That's the nature of the accuser. That's the nature of the serpent. I believe the greater sins are not so much the sins that we commit in the flesh as they are the sins that we commit in attitude, gossip, slander, judgment, criticism, sowing discord among brother, the deceit that comes out of our mouth. You know, call them the death words, if you would, the curse words, if you would, because life and death are in the power of the tongue. And we have a guilty complex, you know, guilty in the church today because we've not discerned the Lord's body. And I believe that has to do, in one sense, it does have to do with criticism and the division that we see in the church today. I believe the greater revelation in why many are weak, sick, and prematurely die is because we don't have a true revelation of what the Lord's body has provided for us in the true sense of having a revelation of healing and the atonement. We don't really see that there's healing and prosperity and freedom and joy and all the blessings, spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus because of what the body has provided. I believe that's the greater message. But there is a message that many are weak and sick and die because they've had a judgment or a criticism against the body of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me last night and he said, Todd, deal with the spirit tonight of criticism. And I thought, well, Lord, what does that mean? I understand that criticism is slander. I understand that criticism is fault-finding, but I wanted to know a little bit more because the Lord was speaking to me about the critical spirit. Now, you remember in Numbers chapter 12, the critical spirit, where Aaron and Miriam spoke against Moses. And we remember the judgment that came. I believe one of the greatest sins and one of the greatest open doors for real damage in the realm of the spirit concerning spiritual climate and atmosphere, not just sickness and illness, has to do with sowing discord amongst brethren. I believe it's one of the greatest sins and has to do with a proud, haughty look that somehow we think we're better. And so I started thinking that way last night, and I thought, well, Lord, you want me to deal with this spirit, you know, of judgment and criticism. So I looked up. I wanted to know more about what is criticism, not just slander and fault finding, but criticism, because you can have criticism in a positive way. Constructive criticism. I mean, criticism can be, I want to critique, you know, just because somebody's cautious or wants to find the truth behind something and search something out doesn't mean they're critical. There's so many different ways in which you could talk about being critical, but in the negative sense, okay, in the negative sense, criticism, you know, you can speak out about something that you don't believe that's right. That doesn't mean you're being critical. I mean, that doesn't mean you can't ever say anything and speak out about what you believe, you know, that's wrong. Well, you're being critical, brother. You know, you're being religious, brother. You know, we just throw that out there today. You know, if anybody ever says anything, don't judge me. You know, you judge not lest you be judged. And we're just so quick to just put everything under, you're judging me. You're judging me and you're being critical to me. You know, and I want to give a caution in the sense of that's not what I'm saying. I don't believe every word that we speak and every negative or what could be perceived as negative is necessarily of a critical spirit. There's people that are like the Bereans that just want to be noble, and it's okay to be somebody that's searching and cautious, and we need to be careful to not lump that all in the name of, well, you're being judgmental and criticism and skeptical, and, you know, I'm so cautious. I have so much grace for my critics over the years because Jesus said, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. And most people that I meet that really deal with any kind of religion or judgmental, critical attitude or gossip or slander, you know, most of them are just bound. You know, and I have so much grace for people that are bound by religion or tradition, and I welcome them and love that they would even, come out to our meetings. And again, I'm not even addressing this because I sense any of that in the attitude of any person that's been in these meetings. In fact, I haven't felt 1 ounce of resistance. It's so free in here right now. You know, if there was somebody in here that was, of what I'm talking, I wouldn't know it because I don't sense it. In fact, I thought it would be a little bit more. I prepared myself as a team. I said, we might get over there to England and there's going to be some real mockers and protesters and we might have to deal with some security issues. And, just in case we got this car and, we'll get you out of the building. And I thought, I'm not worried about any of that kind of stuff, But really, I thought I was prepared. Maybe somewhere I would have some, But I don't sense any of that. So that's really not my word. But when the Lord spoke to me about dealing with this critical spirit, I wanted to look it up because I really wanted to know when you're saying criticism, what does that mean? So I looked it up and it literally means speaking against something with the purpose. We're talking about motive, intent, speaking against something with the purpose of showing that it's wrong or false or a mistake or disreputable. It's more to do with an attitude or a motive. It is a critical fault-finding spirit. And we can find that line in the Lord. So all of these things were coming to me. These sowing discord amongst brother, how the dragon, the accuser, spews against the women, how we condemn every tongue that rises up against us in judgment. And then I started thinking about criticism and how Aaron and Miriam spoke out against Moses. And then I was thinking about not discerning the Lord's body and the division that we have and the factions that we have in the church today. And I was thinking, well, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And the first thing that I felt like the Lord told me he wanted me to do is to take authority over that spirit of criticism. I call it Leviathan. In fact, I did a whole school and series on how to confront the spirit of Leviathan, how to overcome, the spirit of Leviathan, which really does this. Words that come out of your mouth, the enemy twists them. So by the time that they get the ear into the ear of the one that hears you, they don't really hear what you're saying. And that's why Leviathan, or the accuser, is behind strife, envy, jealousy, accusation, judgment, criticism, sowing discord amongst brethren. That's really, really, really the way the enemy wants to work is probably the number one way. And that really does something damaging in the spiritual climate. And it's the reason for many of us to be weak and sick. And I believe one of the keys to releasing the greatest release of healing today, especially in cancers. And people go, are you saying because I have cancer, I have a bitter root judgment? And I find that most people that I know that have cancer, they're actually what I call innocent victims because they've been affected not so much by the judgment that they have. It can be their own offense and judgment issue. But it actually, as I've discerned and prayed for in the last 20 months, more people with stage 4 cancer and have had more testimonies of people being healed in our ministry in the last 20 months of stage 4 cancers than almost any other illness. As I've dealt with the spirit of death, and the Lord's been speaking to me about a root of bitterness that springs up and defiles many, they're the ones that have cancer, because it's probably one of the most prominent, what we're dealing with in the church today. Cancer is like one of the most prompt takes out wives, pastors, elders, leaders, families, is that they're more the victim of the root in somebody else that sprung up and defiled many, rather than they themselves have an issue of unforgiveness or bitterness or bitter root judgment or offense. I'm finding there's an open door for an attack where the enemy is attacking, especially leaders in the area of cancer, stage 4 cancers, stage 3 cancers, and it's really coming from the negative spiritual atmosphere and the negative spiritual judgment and criticism. And some people don't even know that they're living under. Have you ever woke up in the day, it was a cloudy day, a smoggy day? I don't know if it gets smoggy like that in London or not, but we have some cities in America, and that can bring the atmosphere of everybody and their spirit and their attitude. You can kind of all come down. But if it's bright, sunshiny day, that it gives a little extra spring and we got a little extra up in our step, just by we're affected, And the same way there's spiritual negative clouds, spiritual negative atmospheres. And now we're not even talking about you as an individual, but we're talking about, Jesus could do no mighty miracles in Nazareth, the Son of God, though it was the will of God, because of their unbelief. They had created an atmosphere in their particular city and region by their unbelief, and not everyone was an unbeliever. But somehow the corporate unbelief of a city limited the realm in which Jesus could move in miracles. And in the same way, I've discerned in this city and region a lot of what I would call just the judgment realm, the criticism realm, the slander, gossip, slander, backbiting, sowing discord among brother. And that's one of the reasons for the negativity, almost like a cloud, in which has affected the spiritual climate of the entire region. And so when I began to think this way by revelation and begin to discern something, I felt the Lord told me to deal with and confront tonight not only a religious spirit, but to deal with the spirit of criticism, which speaks out against, you know, Moses, or speaks out against one another, or speaks out against leaders particularly, which can open the door for judgments to fall because we're not discerning the Lord's body. This is why many of us are weak, sick, and prematurely die in the church. And Paul was saying there needs to be a caution because there's divisions and factions among you. And part of the divisions and factions manifest as death and the words that come out of our mouth in attitudes. And that some of us have become what I call innocent victims of a greater spiritual climate. And this is the reason for many that have cancers. And many that, when we pray for people that have cancer, they did a new study recently, doctors and medical doctors, and many of the doctors said, we can't put this out publicly because we can't really back it up with science. But most doctors that would do any kind of a surgery on people that had cancer would all agree that when they would go and put people under the knife, if they had, say, a cancer in their lungs or something, and this has happened over and over, they've documented it, that when they go in and they cut where the cancer will literally move into another, like in a ball. The cancer will ball up and like move to another, like it's running away from the knife. And so now they've come out to believe that somehow cancer is actually living. It's like alive. And many doctors have documented that they've done these surgeries. And I have somebody that I know personally that had a cancer in their leg that spread to their lung, and the cancer was spread through their whole body. And when they put them under the knife, the cancer and all the roots of the cancer shriveled up into a little ball like it was living. And when the knife went in, the cancer went and it scraped up into a little ball like it literally was a living organism. I believe it is. I believe cancer is alive. And it is a demonic spirit. And not everybody that's affected by it is affected by it because they have issues of bitterness themselves. But a door has been opened and that's empowered the enemy. You know, and I've faced many, you know, much of this in my own life in ministry over the years. And I've helped the enemy along with my own decisions, you know, and given him power too. But, you know, I've got to take responsibility for my own sin. You know, but over the years, I've faced, you know, criticism in one way or the other. And as it grew, especially in Florida and Lakeland, you know, outside of the decisions that I made, you know, as the ministry grew, so did the opposition and so did the enemy. And as the criticism began and the negativity began to swirl, you know, it gave an empowerment to the enemy for a greater spiritual onslaught that we could not withstand. And many of us don't understand that nature, but that's why life and death are in the power. That's why words are so important, because they're dangerous. They give enemy ammunition or arrows in the hands of the enemy to destroy people's lives. And many times we're unwilling or innocent participants through our own words and negativity. I'm going to deal with that tonight, and we're going to do two things. We're going to repent. One, for any time that we can think of that we've ever participated in judgment or gossip or slander or criticism or in a way that's been damaging to somebody that we've ever, in our attitude, offense, bitterness, that we've given any empowerment to the enemy. We're going to take responsibility and say, Lord, forgive us and cleanse us. We're going to humble ourselves. That's going to give us authority and power so that we can rise up now and command, hold down and condemn every tongue that's risen up against us in judgment, and that you're going to rise up in the spirit. And many of you, you don't even realize that part of what's been hindering you spiritually isn't so much you, but by the negative smog cloud around you. And you're going to break through that tonight. But you can't really have power and authority to condemn every tongue, because we are affected by words. We are affected by the negative, critical words that others are speaking that could be the open door for your cancer. or the conditions you're battling in your body, illnesses, because those around you and your family or friends or whatever, you can't take that barrage of constant accusations. You can't take that constant barrage of the pointing of the finger. You can't take that constant barrage of gossip and criticism and slander, and sooner or later, whether you're aware of it or not, in the natural, I'm a big boy, say whatever you want to say, sticks and stones won't make my bones. But really, it does in the spirit realm. And I felt like the Lord told me that's something that he's going to deal with in this particular region, in this particular city. And for people tonight, I'm not even saying I'm after the guilty ones. I'm after more the ones that are affected by the atmosphere. Just like when Jesus went into Nazareth. Do you remember the atmosphere? The unbelief. He could do no mighty miracles. And there's just going to be a change that I'm prophesying right now to spiritual climate and atmosphere, because we're going to say, God, I'm no longer a willing or an unwilling participant, and I'm going to be cleansed, and I'm going to be free in my mouth, and I'm going to take authority over my words again, and I'm going to ask the Lord to forgive me in any way that I've participated, you know, justified or not. You know, whether you felt justified or not, you don't want the enemy to have any power, because you can't condemn a tongue that's risen against you in judgment, which is the reason for the death in your life, if you yourself have been guilty in participating of these seven sins. The Lord, it's interesting in Proverbs 6, verse 16, that almost all of these sins have to do with attitude. They have to do with the heart. They have to do with pride. They have to do with a haughty look. They have to do with the deceit, with the lying that comes out of him, the sowing, the discord. These are the sins the Lord hates. I thought, well, surely what about murder? What about thieves? What about all the external, what we would call the big sins? But the Lord says, no, 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 these seven abominations, these are the six things the Lord detests. And all of them have to do with the words and the criticism. So the revelation is pretty clear. I want to pray now and break that thing. And then we're going to rise up and take authority over every death curse. And we're going to release you and your church and your ministry from every death curse where the enemy has attacked you with the spew that's come out of his mouth. We're going to clean up in the realm of the spirit accusation and criticism and judgment and debate and opinion. And we're going to say, God, there's going to be a change now, that negative swirl around me is not going to be there anymore. And I'm going to be more cautious of Lord, I want life words. Man shall be satisfied with good or bad. The Bible says a man's stomach shall be satisfied with good or bad by the fruit of his mouth. We are what we eat. We are what we say. We know this. And in many ways, this has been, you can call it witchcraft if you want. Many people will call it Christian witchcraft. Really, I think Christian witchcraft, I would much rather have, not, you know, I don't welcome it, but you know what I'm saying. You know, to know that there's witches and warlocks. I've had these kind of people in my meetings before, and I knew that people were cursing me and just outright evil intent, wanting to put spells and, you know, I've dealt with witches and warlocks in Africa and different places around the world, Mexico, real warlocks, real witches. You know, we get all freaked out. There's witches in the meeting. Ah, you know, we freak out. You know, I welcome these kind of people in my meetings. You know, it's the church that I'm afraid of. It's the Pharisees, Sadducees, people that sow discord amongst brethren. It's the not discerning the Lord's body. It's the division and the factions and the death words that really become the curses. People always talk about, is there a curse on me? Break the curse that's on me. Break the generational curse on me. We're running around. Maybe the enemy's cursed me. Some witches cursed me. I believe there's curses on the church. And the curses that are on the church are more the words and the negativity and how you've been affected by all the clutter, by all the junk that's come out of people's mouths that have been operating under offense or bitterness or religion or tradition. And that's what you're going to be broken from. It happened to me in such a powerful way. Powerful way. Last year, Bob Jones had a visitation around Christmas time, 2 years ago, Christmas time. And he said, Todd, I was waiting for the Lord to visit me. He said, the Lord hadn't visited me like an appearance, like the Lord Jesus, a visitation of the Lord. Not a dream or a vision, but I knew the Lord was going to visit me. And he said, the Lord came in on Christmas morning, and he had a visitation of the Lord. And the Lord instructed Bob, he said, you know, it was after 18, 20 months since I had preached in Lakeland, Florida. And the Lord appears to him, not by a dream or a vision, he has a visitation of the Lord. So he knew the level of the revelation was pretty important to what the Lord wanted to do. And the Lord said to Bob Jones, he didn't want to. because he knew the hits he would take. And he said, the Lord said to him, it's time for you to go to Todd Bentley and break the curse off him that the church has put on him. Justified or not, the anger, the disappointment, the lovers, the haters, those that were lovers that became haters, you know, the negative. He said, it's outweighing right now those that are really praying and blessing and supporting healing and restoration. The negativity is far outweighing. And the Lord begun to show him about the like scales of negativity versus love, prayer, and support. And he said, it's time for you to have the church rally. And I want you to, this happened on a Sunday morning, January, you know, the 3rd. It was January the 3rd, 2 years ago. And he said, you go in and you get the church and you tell Rick Joyner and you have the whole church stand with Todd and you break off the curse. Because and at that time, my gift had been shut down. I wasn't prophesying at all. Hadn't prayed for one sick person in 18, 19 months. You know, the gifts weren't really, I didn't see it, but the gifts weren't popping out of my spirit. And I walked into that meeting and Bob said, I'm glad that you, I see you here this morning, Todd. And I said, well, what do you got for me, Bob? He said, I got a word for you. I said, well, what's the word? He said, I got to remove the curse that's on you. And I thought maybe some witch or warlock put a curse on me. He said, no, 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 the church put a curse on you. And I said, how did the church put a curse on me? He said, you know, because of the death words and the negativity and the criticism. He said, it far outweighs those that are really loving and blessing and support. So he said, we're going to rally up. It only takes one or two or three. We're going to break over you right now, the curses. And I thought, well, great. I'll accept any ministry. You got a word from the Lord. You said, Jesus visited you. Pray for me. And the minute that he reached out to break the curse off of me, I felt a wind come into my body. I mean, it was a violent rushing wind. I mean, I wasn't expecting such a dramatic encounter with the Lord. And because I'd only felt this wind one time before in my life. And the last time that that wind came was, and if you know my testimony at all, and I don't have time to get into the whole thing, but when the Glory Liquid Honey Cloud came, I was 22 years old, and after I had a three-month season of the Lord visiting me, I called it the secret place, soaking, well, a wind came, and I had this commissioning, you know, on Mother's Day, 1998, when my ministry was born, this wind came into my apartment, and I came into my mouth, and I had this encounter with the power of God. Anyways, that same wind was what came January the 3rd, 2 years ago, when Bob lifted his hand up and said, I break the curse off you. I didn't even realize how much of it had been affecting me. And the moment I fell on the ground and kind of just shook and vibrated on the floor, it was like this dark black plague just came out of me and from around me. The minute it was gone, within 8 days, we were in outpouring. And we were preaching seven nights a week for 5 months at Morningstar last year. Immediately, when the curse was broken, we went in the full revival. And I said, Lord, why would we go in the full revival? And one of the great testimonies that happened during that time, the first major miracle in our ministry since I was in Lakeland, Florida, was a man that had stage 3 cancer in his liver that spread through his entire body, had 11 broken ribs, a broken sternum. And he had came the Morningstar. He was sentenced to die, incurable cancer. He was the first miracle. 2 years later, he's on staff, still healed, not one trace of cancer. Long story short, with the first miracle. And when the curse, I know I'm rambling a little longer than I wanted to, so I'll just preach a little less later. When the curse was broken, the Lord showed me that I was going to have authority over death and cancers, judgments and criticisms and illnesses that were connected to words. And since that day, we've had in the last 20 months more cancer healings and more people raised up that were on their deathbed, more incurable terminal conditions than any time in our ministry. It's just almost every meeting I can think of, you know, there's been one major story of somebody that's been terminal or something. I shared a story last night. I was in Korea just a few weeks ago. We spent 3 weeks in Korea. And they were bringing people that were sick in ambulances and bringing them into the meetings on stretchers. And now we got to this one meeting and there was a man that they brought in the ambulance and they brought him into the meeting. He was dying of an incurable blood disorder. He was days or weeks from death. And he was in hospice care at the hospital. And he said, well, I'm going to die anyways. It's my money. I want you to put me in an ambulance and bring me to this healing meeting. The paramedics packed him up in the ambulance, drove him over to the church. That Sunday morning, we had about 30 people that were on stretchers, wheelchairs. It was just great to see that many sick people in church. you know, not that you want to see sick people in church, but when they really believe in healing and they're that desperate that they show up in ambulances to get healed. You know, because that's when the power of God shows up the greatest. I don't know about you, but when I pull up to church and I see ambulances, something inside of me goes, yes, can't wait to get into church. You know, I don't know what happens to you when they bring in somebody that's on a stretcher. You know, maybe you're like, oh, God, what am I going to do? If I was going to pray for somebody with a little pain in their knee, but, you know, this guy's coming in on a stretcher, I rise up to those occasions. It's like the more wheelchairs I see, the more my faith rises. When I preach overseas in, you know, Africa or India, the more crippled, deaf, blind people that they bring, the more my faith rises, you know. And my heart sinks when I show up at church meetings that are supposed to be healing meetings, and I look around and I don't see one visible sickness. Then that, you know, but when my heart rises when they go, Todd, there's people here from the cancer ward, that's when I'm like, yes! You know, most churches are like, oh no, we were going to have a healing meeting, and I knew God was going to heal people, but let's pray for the cripples last when nobody's looking. Let's, you know, put the wheelchairs, you know. I like to go after them first, you know, deaf, blind, crippled, cancer first, then pray for all the small conditions, you know. But most of the church is the other way around. If they can get any faith to even pray for the littlest sickness in the first place, you know, I'm like, run, yeah, praise God, we got stretchers and ambulances. So they bring this one guy in and they bring him down to the front, and we prayed for him, nothing happened that was visible. Put him back in the ambulance, and the paramedics are bringing him back to the hospital, and a white light comes into the ambulance. Whoa, and he has this white light, and then the whole ambulance and his eyes fill with he's blinded by white light, and then this heat, fire, and electricity comes into his body, and he's instantly healed and raised up in the ambulance of an incurable. And so there's going to be an authority tonight. How many of you, you know, in the room, just, you know, Rick Joyner and I did a recent series together, three television programs on authority over cancer and death, and we brought the man on the television program that had the stage 3 cancer that was diagnosed and he got healed. How many of you saw those TV programs? I put them out on our website and our ministry. If you didn't, they're a free resource on our website. It'll give you a lot of insight about healing. And Rick Joyner talks about some things in the area of healing and the prophetic, and that I've never really heard him talk about when it comes to healing. It's really great stuff. It's about three television programs, and they're on our website under media, and they're free. They're about 90 minutes of teaching on particularly dealing with cancer, if you know anybody that has cancer, and how to overcome authority over cancer and death. But I'm going to pray tonight for anybody in the meeting that has cancer or has a terminal incurable disease. And at the same time that the curse was broken off of me, Bob Jones gave me this prophetic word, which has come true now. He said, you're going to have more people in your meetings now, instantaneously, by the anointing, that are going to come right back into their right mind. Bipolar, schizophrenia, people from mental hospitals, mental illness. And we've been having more testimonies, you know, even recently, people with dyslexia, schizophrenia, and people that hear voices, and they're instantly coming back into their right mind. Even people with memory loss had a testimony this summer of Alzheimer's, where with all their memory comes flooding back. And authority over the L's, I called them the L's, leukemia, lymphoma, lupus, Lyme's disease, a whole realm of incurable conditions, Lou Gehrig's disease. All these conditions are death sentences. Not just cancers, stage 4 cancers, but conditions that are death sentences, where if you don't get healed, you'll die. We've had a realm of authority for praying for people that have terminal disease, HIV, AIDS, these kind of things. So tonight, when I break this thing, we're going to move right into praying before I do anything else for anybody that has cancer in the room here tonight, or anybody that has like a Lou Gehrig's disease, a lupus, a Lyme's disease, a lymphoma cancer, any of these kind of conditions right now. And the Lord's going to give us authority over the spirit of death. How many people are in the room right now that came tonight, maybe just for this one meeting? We took a registration, had to shut it off a week ago, and we had people register for both nights and then some just for one night. And, you know, they did such a great job, your team, of separating. How many are here tonight just for tonight's service and you have one of those conditions where you need to be healed that could be terminal? Go ahead and lift your hand up. Cancer, anything like this, because I'm going to pray for you in just a moment, okay? 3, maybe four of you right now, okay? But first, to have authority, we're going to deal with this spirit of criticism and judgment. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to just pray for a moment and repent. Just be sure that there's never a time that you've been guilty. And just say, Lord, forgive me. Anytime I've come to your table and I've had in my heart, oh God, something, a negative judgment, criticism, slander, we've all been guilty. And I've spoke out against in my negativity, in my hurt, in my wound, in my rejection, whatever the motive was for it. I don't want to be guilty, Lord. And it's just a quick thing. You don't have to take a whole lot of time. But I want you to acknowledge, Lord, I don't want to be guilty of sowing discord among brethren. I don't want to be guilty of empowering the enemy with my words or negativity. I don't want to be guilty, oh God. I don't want to be affected. I don't want to be under the spiritual jurisdiction anymore of this demonic presence and power. And so, Lord, forgive me and cleanse me where I've come into relationship and have come into agreement with the accuser of the brethren. I do. I repent, Lord. Gossip, slander, judgment, criticism, a proud look, a lying tongue. If there's ever been deceit or death words in my mouth, Lord, I want to release people right now that have come under death and negativity by my words. If there's anybody that has a judgment, any church or ministry that has been affected because I gave power to the enemy through words I've spoken, Lord, forgive me and release that ministry from that. I don't want to be empowering the enemy in bringing destruction to anyone's family, life, or ministry. And if I've been in agreement, oh God, through my words and my criticism, not only do I repent, Lord, but I pray right now that there would be a release and a blessing on my enemies, a release right now on any of those leaders that have wounded or hurt. So many have come and gone through churches, and you didn't leave well. That's what I'm after in the spirit right now in Horsham, is so many that have come in and out of churches, but you didn't leave well. You can be free, but you didn't leave well. You know, there was a time in my life where God got me released from one ministry. I could call this ministry religious, Uncle Laban, tradition, whatever. I got out of this one ministry, and I knew it was the Lord, and it was the Lord, but the Lord had me go all the way back to some of the leadership that was in that ministry because the attitude in which I left and the way that I spoke when I was gone, because I thought they were religious, and the Lord had me go back. He said, you can't come to the altar with your gift. Your brother has aught against you because of the way that you left. And so I wasn't coming back under, but I at least had to go to be free in my attitude. See, some of you, it may not even be words, but you got an attitude. What I would call not religious freedom, but rebellion attitude. And the Lord wants to put his finger on that in the spiritual atmosphere, that we'd be sure that our freedom is not arrogance and rebellion. That we don't have an anti-religious spirit to the point where it's on the other side of the coin. And if that, you know, Lord, forgive me if I have that in any way. And I want to release any churches or leaders or ministries that have been affected. And that's why God came down for Moses so quickly. You're speaking against Moses because it's going to bring an empowerment against Moses. The Lord dealt with it harshly. And the other guys that did the same thing, remember, the earth opened up and swallowed them all up. The Lord takes that kind of thing seriously. So we just repent of it. Don't spend a whole lot of time on it, but now you're free. Now you can rise up and condemn every tongue that's negatively come against you now, your ministry now, your church now, your family now, and you can. The enemy's going to have no more power against you. And I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus, I take authority, oh God, over every spirit of Leviathan and accusation, every twisting plan of the enemy, enemies, strife and judgment and curse words, oh God, death words, oh God, in the realm of judgment, slander, and criticism. And we rise up and we say, in the name of Jesus, we condemn and we pull down every judgment word and its power against us right now. We pull it down. I want you to pray and take authority right now. Pray in the Spirit right now. And we just condemn every tongue that's risen against us, spoken against us, risen against our call and anointing. And we condemn, not people, but in the Spirit realm, I pull down the enemy's assignment right now and I release people from the negative effects of judgment, criticism, slander, from the negative effects of discord and division in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the poison and the venom be washed and cleansed away. Let all the poison and all the venom be washed away in the power of the blood of Jesus, washing and cleansing right now. The poison of words, the venom of words, I condemn it, oh God. You know, the first thing that happened when that was broken over me was the joy, the freedom, the power, the gifts, the anointing, it all came flowing back. Some of you right now don't even realize what's been broken over you, over your ministry. And all of a sudden, it's going to lead to this breakthrough. Hallelujah. You're going to be like, wow, had no idea that the negative smog of negativity and words was affecting me that much.
All the subtle flavors of my life are become bitter seeds and poisoned leaves without you. You represent what's true. I drain the color from the sky and turn blue without you. These arms lack a purpose, flapping like a hummingbird. I'm nervous cause I'm the left eye, you're the right. Would it not be madness to fight? We come one. In you the song which rights my wrongs, in you the fullness of living, the power to begin again from right now. In you, in you, in you.